This is the Crossroads Podcast Network.
Welcome to Crossroads Sermon Follow-Up, a real conversation that takes the message from Sunday a little farther.
Was that a joke? Wait, really?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sermon Follow-Up Podcast. Back in the booth this morning.
Good morning, Vietnam. This is Dan Mike.
Dan's here.
Big Max, baby, can't
you? Max is back.
Max is dry this morning, too, which is very impressive.
Yeah. Yep, Max did not just get out of the shower 5 seconds ago.
All right, we're back. Hope everyone had a great week where we did not have church in this building, but you did church out in wherever you did it. I bet Trinity Mission maybe had some people go there.
Oh, stop.
I'm just saying. That's what happens. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying.
Any highlights he has heard of from people?
Well, would you like to clarify what you're talking about real quick?
Yeah, on July 7th, we decided not to have church
Everybody
in this building.
Everybody that listens to this podcast doesn't go to church
in the
building.
We're trying to take a summer and make it restful and creative and relational. And one of the ways that we can do that is just by pushing in the fact that what we do, church is not 9 a.m. in this building, but church is a bunch of people that gather together to give God glory, credit.
Clearly whatever. The 11 o'clock service thinks it's
knows
not,
that, yeah, because it's light. But so on July 7th, we like, and I know people say we're not canceling, but we canceled our services and encouraged people to do church in their own context, wherever they are, you know, to go to other churches, to have
Well, let's
on
do a little rapid fire Q&A here. Was it just because it was the 4th of July weekend that we didn't have church?
I don't know, because the 4th of July was like middle of the week, so it wasn't really like pushing, I don't know.
Just dispelling a few myths
right
here.
Yeah,
I know. It's kind of a, it's a double, it's 4th of July, but also if you look at it like we're all just trying to not do something, then you're just going to be mad at everyone, I guess. But
that wasn't the point, yeah.
It's not. I mean, we're all trying to show out to our life, our world. It's really hard for us sitting in this booth to communicate this because we are also facilitating church stuff every weekend. And so when it's like people come to me, what did you do? And I'm thinking, well, I'm always doing something on Sunday. It isn't notable, like if I change, you know. But it's this thing where oftentimes you hear people say, I don't have the time or energy to change my rhythm, to disrupt that and do something for the kingdom of God. And it's like, okay, well, every once in a while, as leaders, can we do things that say, well, I know when you have time. It's when we're all sitting together every single week. And so if we decide not to sit together, give you that disruption of your rhythm, you know, and it's not like it was just a weekend off, you know,
I can't,
because we,
it comes from our history too.
We do add a loss.
Like we've done this once before after the God of the City series and Rod just felt it.
We do add a loss.
Like we've done this once before after the God of the City series and Rod just felt it in his heart to like lead out in this and say like
10 years flies by, you know.
A lot of people weren't a part of that, and so I think it's cool to loop people back into that kind of stuff. And it was a little bit I felt like it was there quick, you know, we were gone a lot, and I felt definitely pressure, guilt to do something extra special or fancy. We prayer walked with our neighbor lady, couple we were going to have over, but she had surgery the next day, so just brought her some flowers. But it definitely felt like that pressure, like, man, I dropped the ball on, you know, really making this an, you know, outreach Sunday. I don't know. But you're sort of countering that pressure, which I appreciate.
About that. Yeah, it's not about pressuring or looking around at each other or whatever, but I think doing things, disrupting a rhythm sometimes is just really healthy and gets people talking and gets you to really evaluate and think about your life and stuff. But also, you know, it wasn't our decision either. It was above our pay grades. But if you look at it, you think, wow, I mean, I go to a church where the upper leadership would have these conversations to say, you know what, we take a financial loss in a sense, right. in order to
encourage
people to get out there and like do some stuff different. Where I think, and now this is just me overgeneralizing, but there's many different groups in the country or whatever who would never sacrifice, you know, their event on the weekends, and not just because they want to be a safe haven, you know, a consistent place for the community, but because they're kind of trapped in that rhythm or whatever. And so I kind of appreciate breaking the mold a little bit every once in a while. So anyways, glad to be back.
Yeah,
happy 4th of July.
Just so long ago.
So here we are
talking about Pure in Heart. Also, I don't know if you guys, Max was just kind of off for the last little bit. He's talking directly into his mic. I'm getting no audio from him. One of these buttons. He was just, if you didn't hear him, he was spitting gold.
Oh, just now. His thing was muted.
Yeah, Jake, I don't know if it was muted. I think that you'll be able to hear it still, but I think it was just really quiet. But it was
his morning voice profound. Is low, though. Yeah. And so lower it's kind of hard.
Yeah. I know. What do you do about that? You know, sometimes I talk to the radio on the way in.
You warm up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hey, Jim Rome, how's it going, little brother? You still got that goatee?
All right. So, Pure in Heart, Rod's back. You know, he was.
Wait, so you're saying that whole time I was talking, it's just
I
quiet
think that for our producer RJ will be able to pull it up. I think it's there. I'm looking at my screen, looking at all the marks that Dan and I are making. And then when you were talking the whole time, the line is just flat. Flatlined, Max. We're flatlined.
You talked and then listened to me for a while and then responded.
So I think we'll that will be able to.
Yeah, they'll understand what I. Yeah.
How about that sound booth, speaking of RJ?
You know what? Oh, yeah. Love that. For those of you who were there on
pros,
Sunday.
We had some cons. Will,
why don't you just explain the sound booth?
Do I have to?
Yeah.
We have pro audio here every weekend and the sound, and it's been on a rickety table in the middle of the gathering.
We aren't coming at you.
We aren't coming at you.
Okay.
See, when some people, people can easily come at Will like, man, you stole my bleacher. And
they're still there.
It's still there.
I just got to find them.
Great point, Dan. Thank you. I know. I'm just saying there were some things that made it a lot nicer. A lot of people didn't like sitting that front row because you just stare at RJ's back. And what were some of the other reasons?
We're not trying to be big and cool. Just the size of where the bleacher was. You can't put half of the bleacher there. It's one piece of metal. You got to move it.
Right. Okay. So part of it is when we got this building, we were two campuses, really used to setting up and tearing down every week. We had all this audio gear that was mobile.
Yeah.
It was mobile audio gear. We had the table. And so when the first Sunday came around and happened to be like the week before Easter, it was like, okay, boom, put the sound stuff right in the middle of here, I guess.
No, we didn't even have a band that day.
And
right?
Also, like, no, we didn't. It was like a cappella.
We sang with our voices.
We got in trouble. We played this game in youth group one time where we hid Bibles around the church, blue Bibles with things in them, and kids had to find them. Well, they started taking them out from under the sound thing, and I sort of got in trouble a little bit, but not that in trouble.
Our sound booth was held up by Bibles.
Exactly.
Shims?
Yes. And
so I was like,
that's what brings us to the need for a sound
booth. This is a $10,000 sound booth. And I'm like, we got four blue
these
Bibles.
These are the Bibles. That's
a firm foundation. Holding that thing up, man.
Hey,
so anyway, we moved the set of bleachers. We moved it back so that way it's out of people's way. People that come in, you know, when Lindsay and Libby come in to like give the number, there's kind of a distraction.
I like it. I really do. So, I just don't. I think people have a problem with the espresso machine that you built into.
Right.
It.
I know, but
it just sounds really.
It's minimal. It doesn't. You can't hear the milk froth that loudly. Anyone
and the round.
Yeah.
The round,
yeah. It'll help in the round. Anyone can come back there. There's not a VIP. There's not a bouncer there keeping you out. Just come back, say hey, lean on it, set your coffee up there.
It does bring up memories from my childhood because there is a similar structure at our church, but there's a sign on it that says you're not allowed to
go.
I still to this day, I probably get
the hardcore sound guy.
Get your hands off of this.
No,
this is the opposite. Come on up.
I like that side bleacher, though. I was there.
I
mean, it's a little hike to get over there.
Yeah.
But
I love it.
I think it's cool. For another one on the other side, you know, a little trifecta.
Well, it blocks the window, though. That's my problem. But I liked it, too. And speaking of this weekend, side bleachers, we had baptisms, we had mikvah, we had Pure in Heart.
All right, so we did
Old Testament, we had New Testament, we had football stories.
9 a.m. Max.
Lecherous men and women.
9 a.m. Max did the baptism. I thought it was really profound. Mainly when his pal came up. We'll just shout out to Nick.
Nick Erkes.
Chelsea. Charles. You two going in there together. It was really awesome.
Baby in the tub, too.
Oh, yeah, she was not letting go.
Yeah.
Which is, part of the
little
story,
little pedo baptism.
Yeah, don't think. Yeah. We're not bringing up infant baptism into this right now, but she was in there.
Yeah, it's just nice to see people just showing out. Okay. We could have an event on Sunday that's... It's not really so personal, but we could do it. We could do something a lot more like conference-y, where it's just this big thing, you know. But then when you
like
see
a baptism event,
like a Sunday morning service that's like just not really personal.
Oh,
and yeah, then we could do that, but then there are times when I notice that kind of not happening here, and it's when Nick stands up front and says, I want to get baptized, or you standing in there with various people who are just sharing their hearts. It makes the big room even smaller. Yeah. You start to see more and more people like watching and paying attention and being present there, you know, and that's a difference between, I mean, you're not going to get that on YouTube or whatever, you know, and so I thought that was really cool.
I think it's really awesome how it like inspires people in those moments to get up out of their seats in their church clothes, to get in the water in their jeans or whatever and just get baptized. Like it means something.
And you know, I appreciate Rod's, you know, offer of mikvah to like this secondary cleansing, stake in the ground, something. I know people like wrestle with that. Like, was I really baptized when I was young? Or even if it's not as an infant, is it, you know, when I was 14, did I really know what I did? And I always want to encourage them. Yes, you did know with the faith that you had as a 14. Yeah. I work with kids. I want them making decisions to get baptized. And you may go to college and have some struggles and bump your head. And so being able to sort of have that opportunity to do something that isn't until I started going to Crossroads and Rod started talking about how the Jewish culture worked and mikvah like sort of gave that permission another opportunity
to continue
this thing. Some people are pretty hardcore that it would be, you know,
you can't do it twice.
But I want to say that, you know, and I did to a lot of people that I was able to meet with before, like you're probably going to get to a place 5 years from now where you're looking back on this baptism and like feeling like you blew it, which hopefully not, but you don't need to keep doing this to feel, because that's when
there's
baptism becomes worse,
right? There's a difference
between
a clean start that is not Christ-centered and then a Christ-centered commitment where you're like, I'm showing up today. Yeah. Today is the day that I need to start over.
Those would be
if you're going up and you're just like, I'm just sick of my life and the way I am. It has nothing to do with Jesus, you know. Then it's like, okay, well, this isn't really the thing for
that.
Right,
but even if it does, I think it's so important to see that, like, even if you don't get baptized again, when you're, like, repentant over those things that you've done, even if it wasn't Baptism Sunday perfect the next day after this thing happened, like, he sees us with the eyes of that person when we come up that... Yeah. New in him life, like that's how he's seeing us. And I think when I'm able to speak that to someone, like what was this week, like that's for me, that's almost a better moment than even in the tank, because you can easily think that these religious ceremonies that we do are the thing that he's proud of or whatnot, but like just the repentant heart alone, the tears in someone's eyes before is God's I just love speaking that. Like God's so proud of you.
It's real.
Sees you. So
appreciate you setting that up too, or getting down the calendar, Will, because one of the things I constantly think about when we don't do baptism is it's just because there's no way to do it, and you know, and then it's like, it's Easter, we better set that thing up. But
four times a year now,
we're trying to do things like baptism and communion just on a more regular basis.
Because
just
people
offer,
show
and then if it's Easter, we add another one
or child dedications is another thing. Like we're doing them all the time just because there's people that want to dedicate their children.
Lots of kids out there. All right, so Rod shared on Blessed Are the Pure in Heart, for they shall see God. A nice next line in the Beatitudes.
Ironically tied in perfectly.
Apparently, he didn't know there was a baptism, but that's up for debate still.
Yeah. Among this crowd right here,
maybe we
would say that maybe he did know that they're
but he had a lot the going man on. Was Listen. In a different country. Yeah, he's in the back. Middle East. He got back in the Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday. He got back thirsty.
Thirsty Thursday.
Thursday, and you know, you can't expect him to have everything all. Yeah. So, anyways, what'd you guys think? Blessed are the pure. First, he started talking about Lucky again. Yeah. What do you guys think about that? We weren't allowed to believe in luck growing up, but it's taken on a different form.
Yeah, now. What do you say?
Lucky is not. It's not magic trick lucky or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Lucky in our culture nowadays is just the one who is fortunate.
Has somebody money, yeah. has health, has
the person whatever. Who got dealt a, shoot, I can't be talking about cards. Oh, not allowed to talk about luck. Playing cards. Right. Not in church. I was gonna say Delta, good hand.
All right.
In Uno. So no, and then how do you read stop? How do you read
That's
blessed?
That's the back of his. That's his.
We keep talking about blessed,
yeah,
fortunate ones. I'd like for you to comment on this, if you will. Everyone keeps saying that the Beatitudes are taking the outline of a person, in like an individual, rather than individual people in and of themselves. And I've heard it several times throughout the series.
People are.
Well, I might have even said it, but I'm not sure if I understand
what it means.
Are you saying
this is describing a person, not a bunch of people?
Yes, that's what he said right at the very beginning. He said this is not the Beatitudes are something that is describing an individual in the kingdom of God, or in a sense,
meaning that like every person in the kingdom of God will be all of those things?
Not as a prerequisite, I hope. That's what I'd like to talk to you about. Is that how you heard it, or is that how you feel? Like,
not that this is the bar, but sort of this is
describing.
We'll give you 2 years in this Christian thing, and then you
try. Hey, you're not as good at being merciful, so I know it's.
You can come in as a smoker, but then.
So. You guys didn't hear that? You haven't heard that
previous,
at all yet?
Yes, yes.
You
have?
Okay, so,
yes. So
what do you think about
comment?
That?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one, dude. Seems like sanctificate. Like,
I always thought he was just saying, blessed are the merciful. That's not...
Yeah.
I didn't think...
Yeah, I had never
He's
thought.
Describing a full character of a person in all... I don't know. I'm sure...
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I wouldn't... I'm not... I came at it the same way that you did.
Yeah, it seems to me like when I think about it, it's like if you just like, boom, instantly transported to the kingdom of heaven, opened your eyes and looked around, like the people that you would see there are meek. And
yeah, they're all of these things.
And that would have been encouraging to hear in a crowd like they were in. There was some crowd there. Like being those meek people, being probably some pure in heart, but who weren't. Maybe the religious elite, and saying to them, blessed are these people. And you're looking around, and you're like, okay,
right.
Yeah, because it's like everything Jesus flips on its head, right? Like you would expect this prominent rabbi with power from God to come in and say, blessed are the rich, obviously. Yeah. The people who have
blessed
God's
are
favor
not sick.
Are the healthy, or the rich, or the... But he says that, and there is tradition of rabbis saying blessings
like
that. Blessing.
Yeah.
Hey, blessed are you if you don't have to serve a master.
If you're not a woman.
If you're not a woman.
Now
you have this man coming and saying.
I read it. No, I'm not. Why is he laughing at that?
Oh,
blessed are you. And you're thinking, okay.
Ironic example.
So those people maybe are thinking, okay, is this rabbi now going to like keep me out?
Right.
Blessed are you.
Well.
That's blank. What hits me as like a baseline. Yeah. I could say yes for sure to the, you know.
Well,
or where I
I'm
came
always
to the
getting
text
twitchy when I start to sound when my mind starts to say, if you don't have all these 5-6 things here, you're not in or it. You're not.
That's
you,
how
you don't
I feel
make
sometimes.
It, you don't hit the bar because you're not pouring hard enough. Or
with
whatever,
the fruit of the spirit as well, right? The
so
fruit
maybe
of the spirit can be that way
maybe,
where you're like,
right, totally.
Patient, kind, but it's also nice to have. Some reminder.
Yeah.
You know, you go through and read that on a Tuesday morning. You're like, okay, Lord.
Baseline is believing in Jesus as the Son of God who died for our sins.
I'm not
no,
saying,
no,
and then when you go into the king, when you die someday and you enter into heaven, there's going to be this like laser that you go through and it makes you all these things.
Good news is, as you have an assumed relationship with Jesus because everybody standing there is in relationship to him.
Yep.
He didn't say that, but he's assuming you're in my kingdom. And in my kingdom, you're going to have to come to grips with all the real things of life and all the hard things. And so people that are in his proximity are people who are going to be experiencing this type of hunger, this type of relationship with another, this type of weaknesses, right? And so then we see somebody who's pure in heart. Anybody have no baggage attached to that?
Well,
yeah, I mean pure in heart has been used as a weapon for, I mean,
really?
How?
In a way, it's like if you, I feel like.
Like, do, is your heart pure?
Yeah.
In your dating it's relationship. Just,
seems like it's always been kind of more of the purity culture.
Are you buying this car with a pure heart? Like,
you selling me this with a pure heart?
Yeah.
Clean conscience?
Yeah. Essential oil. And just purity culture in our generation is just reduced to every man's battle. And it's reduced to, you know, this is the only thing. Whenever you see the word pure or whatever, that's the only thing it means. And I don't think that this is kind of talking about that. So what did Rod say he's talking about pure? Well, he talked about ritual purity.
Yeah.
And he went back to Leviticus and he somehow sucked a fly up his straw.
Dude, that would be the worst.
I'm
with him.
I don't know how you could.
It just
you must have really been
thirsty.
Must have really. How big was the fly to notice?
Well, and then it goes small enough to fit up his straw.
I missed that it was in the straw.
In his childhood, he sucked a milk.
Never drank milk.
Apparently, he hasn't had milk.
My favorite part was that Rod goes second grade, and then he points to a guy in the church and goes, "Rob Barr, you were there."
You remember?
That's awesome. Someone was there with Rod in second grade.
Whatever, we don't Rod.
I'm not making this up.
Rod
I swear.
Can't see that made me bother, so he just pointed in a direction.
Rob's over here.
I swear, I did this. Rob can tell you if you don't believe me.
Okay, Dan. So you're asking
difference between ritual cleanliness and purity? They're not the same, right?
Rod was talking a lot about how we, like, deep down, even Christian or non-Christian, like, desire cleanliness, pure, like, right? He's trying to make.
Well,
he
was saying we desire to see God.
Okay,
that would be deep down, but that was not what he was talking about. Cleanliness, cleanliness. Yeah, I think it was more so this distinction of, like, a lot of people nowadays feel pressure, and like I resonated when he said that. He said a lot of people in our culture just walk around feeling unclean, and so. Yeah, I've noticed that lately. If somebody, even in, you know, in our church community, if somebody does something wrong or it doesn't have their act fully together or whatever, there's this cloud that they just feel heavy, like I'm tainted or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And how does that correlate, or how, I don't recall, how did he pair that with, like, pure in heart, and did he define, like...
Yeah, ritual purity has three distinctions. He talked about Leviticus. There's three distinct places to be, which is common, holy, or unclean. And the holy thing would be more comparable to the clean, pure of heart kind of stuff. He cited a few Psalms where he said, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart." Right? So all of a sudden, clean and pure go together. And so you could have a bag of rice. That's just a common object. But if you open the bag of rice and there's a mouse in there that died, it's now unclean.
Right.
It's not done anything wrong. It's just ritually unclean. But if you designate that bag for a specific purpose to be used by the priest, it's now a holy object. He would have to do whatever he'd have to do to make that pure and clean, do his ritual cleansing of it or whatever. Fast forward that, forwards to our time. We're talking about being in this world in a way that...
Right, so can we be pure in heart, like have pure intentions? You'll hear that phrase, right? In or out, like, just like pure...
On the Bachelor. On the Bachelor. Are you here for the right reason?
or you'll also hear it in like in our world, in Christian world, like there's like outside of him, nothing, like he has made us pure. There's nothing outside of him that I could do that would be pure. But it doesn't seem like Jesus is talking about that latter one, like this, right? I mean, he's
well, right?
Like, who can ascend the hill? No, the answer is nobody. Like, is, so is he describing himself when he's given these beatitudes, and now he's looking at woo?
Will's bless making you. This whole office unclean right now.
Does that make sense? Where I'm at? Is it something that, like, can you be meek? I think, yeah, someone can be meek outside of.
Are you asking, can a person live with pure intention?
I don't know. And is pure heart? Intention the same?
Or do we have to look at is everything that we do tainted in a way?
This is kind of the discussion I was trying to start.
Are we doing this podcast pure and
heart? No, when I was talking about righteousness, this is part of the thing I was trying to start. Why righteousness was such a drama back then was because people were trying to prove that they were actually serving God with a pure heart.
Right.
Not selfishly, right? So Rod did kind of mention righteousness.
Yeah, you got a shout out.
Will,
I did get a shout out.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. When you just said that, it gave me a flashback to... Every time I was in this systematic, like bunch of different systematics classes, constantly reminded that literally could never have a pure intention was the perspective of that professor.
Yeah. Like,
so that is a thought out there. But is Jesus then in this story saying, blessed are the pure in heart, encouraging someone out there who would be pure in heart? Or is he only encouraging those who are now
I don't know.
Well, one thing that I would...
I'm not saying I agree with that. Sometimes I feel like...
One thing that I would bring up, Max, is child being like a child. Because I think that there is a... I don't know. When I've been in, like... I'm thinking right now of a prayer meeting that I was in back in the day with Lily Tindero. And she just started praying from her heart.
Yeah.
You know, as a child. And all of a sudden, it just seemed... I don't know. So I know. Real.
Like, I like different. To. Yeah. I want to think that there can be. So that can do something.
Well, I think when I'm talking about righteousness being tainted, everybody who's just like serving the Lord on their own has some level of pride or some level of selfish ambition deep down. But when we receive Christ and we read verses that say His righteousness has been given to us, He has fulfilled all the righteous requirements and. We take all, he gives us the ability to, in a sense, like Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I remove my selfish ambition from this equation when I get the imputed righteousness of Christ. Yeah. And so I think that is on the table. As you're in relationship with Christ, He's going to start developing you in a way that is pure.
I think we saw a little, like, I just want to shout Max out again, baptism-wise. Like, I think we saw it in you, the way that you stepped into that tank. You could have said, I'm here. I'm the pastor of this church, one of them. I get to do this, and you're going to be baptized by me.
I'm the man.
But instead, you did a great job making it like just about what's happening in that tank and the people that are doing it, and you put your heart in front of them. And to me, there wasn't any like.
But then when he did that selfie for his Instagram,
that was a little strange.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but what I'm saying is there was nothing. You didn't gain anything. Maybe you did, but you weren't trying to gain anything by baptizing those people.
Just serving everybody.
You were just serving everyone, and it was evident. And I feel like you're going to see God.
And I like to think that someone can. But is it only in Christ that I can do that? Like, right? Like,
why did you say it like Buddha. That was such a drag?
Buddha too.
Is it?
No.
Is it only?
Good grief.
Yeah, I think
like,
so. I mean,
like, can someone be when Jesus is speaking to these people, and he's saying, "Blessed are the meek," or "Blessed"?
Brain I think fart, that the reason
some of the other heart. Ones,
but I think the reason why he brought the heart
merciful are Max, things that someone
is
could
because
be.
He's talking about your inability. He goes. He didn't say blessed are just the pure outside.
No, I know, but those other ones are things you could be outside of Christ.
You can be meek without Jesus.
Maybe not.
Righteousness.
What's that?
No, righteousness.
You could mourn.
Okay.
Anyways, I don't think merciful. I think all of the stuff poor in spirit. There's a lot of things that are going in and out, okay, and completely through you. I don't even think that the full development of dualistic has happened fully yet in his time. But I think that he is, I'm glad, I will say, that he said pure in heart and not just pure in clothes or pure in no rashes or whatever on your body or whatever. He said pure in heart. And so now we're talking about inside.
Cleansing that God can do. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And so you got to get to a point where you say, okay, so actually, how do I get that? How do I look at my heart and say, deep down, you're selfishly trying to
just
save yourself? And that's got to be not as big as who God is. There has to be some sort of exchange there where you can say deep down, I'm actually okay with losing myself for the sake of this.
Right. And that's where
exactly what he called us to do.
That's what David is saying, right? Psalm 51, create something in me that's different than what's here right now. A clean heart. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just going out. You guys are looking at me.
Dan
like,
has
an
impeccable ability to just.
I am listening
to
what I'm listening
to.
I'm listening to what you're saying and going, the only way it's going to be possible is not going to be like God says in Ezekiel, I will come and I'll give you a new heart, heart of flesh.
That's,
I will
that's
place
good, will,
your heart of stone, your dirty old heart. And I so like,
what you were just
I'm
saying was David was longing for that.
David was longing for that. And I'm not.
I was waiting for you to finish the sentence. And that's
I'm
why,
saying,
I was why I look like
I'm
that.
I'm saying, I think a lot of times, like, okay, I just have to clean my heart. I just have to run all my intentions through this like a car wash or something.
Right.
When in reality, it's the work of God to cleanse our hearts. Like, we submit to him and we invite him in, and he's the one that creates a new clean heart in me, a steadfast spirit. He's the one that takes out heart of stone, puts in heart of flesh.
Okay.
Like, I feel very much like it doesn't have a lot to do with how ways that I can do it. Okay, well, it's time to just clean your heart up or have a pure heart now. It's submitting every motive, every idea, every action into like this belief that Jesus is God and God has a kingdom, and that allows him to make purity happen. I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, I think
transition us to
get that swapped out.
Also.
So what do you guys think about seeing God? Is
that threw me for sure.
Why? What do you mean?
Just to compare, I just like always just like, blessed are you and someday you'll go to heaven or you know, heaven will be here, but like not this. He made it pretty grand, you know, with no one else ever before being able to see God. And so I think the reverence maybe that he painted of this thing was a lot more shocking than what, like, I don't know, that one was like maybe the least exciting for me before, of just like, for you will be some of the other outcomes, you will receive mercy is really nice, but like you'll see God just like, unless someone so like, I want to see God.
Max is like, God's out getting his mail. Hey, morning, God.
Hey, did you see? Hey,
I don't know. Maybe it's how.
Did you see
God? You guys, God was in town earlier.
That's horrible. Maybe it's growing up in the church and like
not
hearing
pure.
Sundays.
It's not pure. He wants to see God just so that he could say he saw God. Not pure.
Oh, just like, when I see God, I'm going to ask him why, you know, earthquakes. Right, it's people so always true, have these questions like, why I'm going to ask him why the Pacers didn't win.
I can't wait till I see God so I can ask him.
And he
why do kids always sound like that?
Why the Tigers suck. Like,
that's the only voice.
Wait to see God. Anyway.
So it just messed with me a little bit.
Because it seemed like a really great thing.
Because
I mean, you compare it to Moses? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the reverence that he described when talking about Moses, rather than maybe what I generally think about as seeing God when I read the Gospels, which is mostly what I do, which is like this man Jesus, which is the most God form that I can relate to. So I think the Father I can't relate to as much, so I picture.
Right.
It does get a little exciting, you know, when you go and, you know, you read the first couple of chapters of Revelation and you see this guy, John, who knew Jesus really well, maybe was best friends with Jesus, saw Jesus as a human, saw him die on the cross, and then years later is on this island and has this revelation of Jesus. And John sees his friend, but it's in a different way. He falls down before him. He worships him. He's like, this is a different person now. Even Jesus, the risen Messiah, seated at the right hand of God. His hair is like wool. His eyes are like fire. Yeah. His voice is like water. Like, this is a different thing now. Yeah. And Jesus is seeing him, or John is seeing him in a different light, and it's causing him to fall down.
I act as if I'm like the disciples sometimes, like before they fully understood that he was God. They definitely knew he was Jesus out there fishing with them.
Yep.
Hey, Jesus.
So, Dan, you asked the question.
I don't know. I was just, you said to transition, so.
What did you think?
Hey, you remember, Will, you don't have to leave. What time is it?
8:54.
Jean Valjean, didn't he say to love another person is to see the face of God? You ever remember that from Les Mis?
No.
He should have.
They
kinda
sing that whole thing. I can't understand what they're saying.
No. I wonder if he's talking about, he starts talking about the heart, and then he moves into something that I think, I don't want to say it's a metaphor, but I mean to see God, to be able to see.
I was kind of thinking that it takes purity of heart to look at a man and Jesus and like admit that that's the Messiah. Like all the people, his disciples, the people, like the Pharisees that came to him and knew him, and or the people that were healed by him and demon possessed or whatever, and said, "You're the Son of God." Like, it takes a purity of heart to look at a humble man like Jesus and say, I see him. I feel like,
right,
like that's God. Like, I see the prideful, the pride, you know, the Pharisees, they did not recognize Jesus as God. They didn't see God. It took it took the low, it took the hurt and the humbled to be able to see that Jesus was God.
And going back to that prayer meeting I was talking about with Lily, we can just wrap it up, is she's like able to see God in a way. Like when she, wherever she looked around, is able to kind of sync up sort of with what he was doing. I mean, that's kind of the now, but not, I know Rod said it's a now, but not yet kind of thing. But I mean, what is actually the now? You're not going to see God walking down the street.
Yeah.
And so then people will say, well, then you're not pure. You know, the reason why you haven't seen God is because you're not pure and hard enough. That's a trap. We're talking about once your heart is in the right place, you're going to start seeing God everywhere. You're going to start seeing what he's doing.
Yeah.
You're going to join up.
That's a great thought to end this podcast right now, Dan.
Thanks, Will. Wow. Got any shout outs for me?
Shout out the entire Thunder Wheaton football team.
Wheaton football.
Hopefully and that guy's still alive.
Their coach is a legend, Rod. Yeah.
All right. Love it.
And Rob Barr, he did get a full shout out during the message. So,
Smokers.
Apparently.
We're not trying to put you in a different bag. We love you.
Smokers are off in the corner.
We don't have
a smoking section at Crossroads.
We've abolished smoking sections. So they've actually.
Israel trip. Welcome back.
Welcome back, everyone.
You get a chance to go.
Yeah, I know you guys all think you're more special than everybody now. That first Sunday back, you're yeah, we're here.
And let us know if you'd like an Israel trip led by Max, Will, and Dan. We can accommodate that.
All right,
everybody.
Until next time, have a great week. Do-do-do.